The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in Tanbo. Boy, I from in Tanbo. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in Tanbro. Boy, I from in Tanbro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke in Tanbro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome again to another edition of Inside the Inner City, Dr. Maz on Guardian Radio, every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96, and also you can listen to us, Cable Bahamas, I guess, live. And I want to say a wonderful good night to each and every one of the listeners, and to each and every one of you who I meet as I make my journey around the country, doing my chores, paying my bills. I meet a lot of persons who say a lot of good stuff to me, and it makes me feel real good. And I appreciate each and every one of you, and I'm going to try my best to continue to have a dialogue with the countries and powers to be on providing solutions, explaining to them what they're facing in the country and why some of the things are happening. And today on Inside the Inner City, we're going to talk about the recent shooting of a young man, I think the age of 18. And we want to do our best to try and explain it to the general public. I just want to say my condolences goes out to the mom and the entire family, because losing a loved one is so detrimental to the human body. You know, some people never recover. You know, it causes stress. Many people, you know, get ill because of it. You know, because some of the people that they lose are persons who, you know, you just can't explain it. I've lost a lot of loved ones, and a lot of people in the country have lost a loved one. And you can see the effect it has on many people when they lose a mother, a brother, a cousin, you know, someone who's close to them, and they lose them because of a tragic event, whether either shooting on the streets, where guys are trying to inflict pain on one another, having a beef or armed robbery that goes bad, or a murder, you know. And, you know, it's actually destroying the country, you know, just about everyone in this country right now, in the last 30, close to everyone in the years, is losing a loved one or someone connected to somebody or being lost to a violent incident in the country. And there are many questions need to be asked. So I try my best based on my experience, you know, being a part of that particular world, knowing some of the people who was involved, being a part of it, knowing somebody who was helping. You know, it's just a cycle until I found that I have a greater purpose. And if I could switch that around and be a beacon, a bright light, maybe we could start to understand the situation that we're facing in the country. And because of my past experience in the police and the court system, being involved in gangs, drugs, and still knowing guys on the streets who are actively involved, you know, knowing about the prison, and then knowing solutions to these problems, and when things are said, particularly in the newspaper or Guardian, I could reflect on it and have a topic. And we're going to have a topic today on my son, Ron, why shoot him? I just want to hope that I explain it to the general public and that I don't hurt the family that I'm speaking about, because I just want to say to the family that I'm only trying to let those out there know why we're having the same problem over and over and over and over again. And then only when this happens, you know, you can see the pain in the mother's voice and the family's voice of losing the loved one, and they ask for an explanation from the police and they're asking for cameras. And I try my best to be as neutral as possible, two sides of the story. I have to talk about the police, and I have to talk about the young man, and then I have to talk about the community that he resides in. Okay, so before we do that, I just want to give a shout out to I'm going to get a shout out to Bishop Ferguson, former Commissioner of Police, former Assistant Commissioner of Police, will be having his rally in the alley Sunday. That event will be held through Woods Alley, and I think it's on the 29th of this month. Okay? And we're inviting all of the residents of the Bain and Grantstown community that will be in attending Big Harvest Community Fun Day and Education, and actually it's a rally through the corner where they've been doing it for many, many years. So we're asking all those who are part of the community to please come out and show your support. It's all for you guys in that community to try and make the community lives a little better for the few hours that they'll be having this wonderful event. There'll be delegates attending, who have been attending for many years, supporting Bishop Ferguson on his endorse to just give a little back to the community by doing charity work in the Woods Alley community. All right, so that's, yeah. So date, Sunday the 29th, 2023, time, 3 p.m. Woods Alley, formerly known as, I think, Choke Neck Alley. You would hear Pastor or Bishop Simeon Hall mention it. That's where he grew up, and they switched the name to Woods Alley. So it's actually Choke Neck Alley. And you always hear Bishop Simeon Hall telling the young man to give up the life of being a bad boy, else, you know, one day it would be you, the gun would get turned on you. So, yes, rally in the alley, Sunday the 29th, January 2023, at 3 p.m., the 29th of January, Woods Alley. Okay? Yeah. Now, let me go to my topic. Sorry for that little, but I had to do that. Mr. Ferguson is a wonderful man. Nice bishop. Okay. All right. So, my son ran. So, why the police shoot? This is what the mother's saying. And you know, she's saying, if he run, why shoot him? And the police respond that, according to their comments, they responded that he was exchanging gunfire with them, and they fatally wounded him in the emergency van reach. They pronounced him dead. And the family is asking questions, where's the cameras, and they're saying that probably that son didn't have a gun. And if he ran, why shoot him? Well, you know, it's so sad that with these kind of statistics, and I just want to read, you know, with these kind of statistics, like, for instance, let me just read. And this is on the Nassau Guardian. Police believe that 35 suspects who were on bail for various offenses committed a murder in 2022, Police Commissioner Clayton Fernandez said today. Additionally, he said 34 murder victims were killed while they were out on bail. And he said there were 34 victims were killed while they were being electronically monitored, he said. There were 128 murders in 2022, an 8% increase over 2021. Of the 128 murders, police solved 86 of these matters. Fernanda said this represents a clearance rate of 67% of murder solved, according to the commissioner. And the commissioner commended the officers involved in solving those cases. So he's talking about the CDO officers who did their proper investigation and brought actually a clearance rate of 67% out of the 128 murders in 2022. Now, the police is doing their job as to go and do the investigation, hope properly, and they were able to get a 67% rate of murders committed in 2022. So that's 67% of the 128. So that means the remaining unsolved. Okay. The police is doing their job. Now, these 67% of the clearance rate are now before the courts to see if many of these cases can be tried in Supreme Court. So the question needs to be asked, how many convictions can the police be able to convict out of this 67%? And mind you, they still have to look at other matters that are unsolved in 2022. So there'll be other people probably getting charged. Some will not be get charged because, you know, some people are going to slip through the cracks. That's just how it is. The police ain't perfect. Don't even think they're perfect. So if we look at that, right, what is going to be the conviction rate knowing that we have a 67% clearance rate? That means 67% of those murders poison charge out before the courts. Now, the question needs to be asked, how long the cases are going to be tried and how much conviction can the court sustain within this year alone or previous matters? Because if I'm reading correct and listening to the information that I received from the former Chief Justice, I think I could be wrong, but they said they only could prosecute between 9 and 15 murder cases per year, if I'm correct. So the police are doing their job, but because of the backlog in the cases in the country, right, the courts can be able to deal with all of the backlogging. And then when you have an 100 plus 128 murders in 2022, and then that's a 8% increase from 2021, okay? So people from last year who are being investigated, or murders that are being investigated, who persons are not being charged with, they're still out there. And I'm just saying that to say this. If you look at the conviction rate, if you look at the clearance rate, which 67% means the police are doing their job, or the 1 in 27 murders. But if you look at the conviction rate, we're in big trouble. Okay? And again, I stated this, and I think this is a response to what I said last week on the show. So it's good that you have a person like me who understand and can explain these things to you, what we're facing in the country. So when the police says something, I could be able to come to verify and explain something if not true, and explain it where we can have a dialogue, because I'm good in these things. There's no one in the country better than doing these things, because I was a part of the system. I know the system. There's not a hyper-prolific criminal who I ever known in my time of being on the streets, who I've talked to and still knowing the prison system. So what I'm giving you is an inside view of actually what's happening in our country. And then I'm going to the part why my son ran and why the police shoot. Whether he's innocent or guilty for shooting. Just say he shoot at the police, and that could be the case. Now, I want to explain that. And then if he's innocent, I want to also explain that. But we never know the truth, okay? So, yeah, so we're in big trouble. So we have the prison, right? Now, let's just look at these numbers. We just could go by 2022. So of these 120 murders in 2022, the police solved 80 86% of those matters, right? So these persons now are being charged before the courts, right? So people who charge this year for these murders, right? For these murders, you know they're going to have to make space for the set who were charged in 2021, who probably just been up in prison for a year or 6 months, because where we're having so much people commit serious offenses, like 128, and we suppressed last year, according to the statistics, we suppressed last year by 8%. So anytime we had 100 and something, there's no way our judiciary system could ever show justice to the country when the courts are asking for new court complexes, asking for new judge. We just appointed, I think, 4 new judges. That still isn't going to be enough. According to the information I received, the former chief justice and the new incoming justice are asking for a new court complex just to deal with the matters because of the backlog. And that means cases and people being tried for murder are not going to be going to court in a timely manner or fashion. Okay, however you want to put it. Okay? So that means people who commit serious crime are going to have to get bail because so much people commit crime and they have to make space for the just recent person who charged with a serious offense because the court is unable to deal with the backlog and time frame, so they are entitled to bail. You understand? And that's how serious it is. So that means people out there are going to be electronically monitored and put back out in the streets to go in the streets, right? Now, this is what happens now. Innocent can suffer for the guilty, you know? So I want mothers, fathers, aunties, uncles, tell their children, when you're in these communities where a lot of people have been involved in murders and shooting, tell your kids at early time, come home, all right? Because what you're dealing with, right, is this. The Camp Road area has had many murders over the course of the last few months, okay? High volume area, people being killed, shootings on a regular basis. So I'm saying this to you because this is what we've been through in the Grandstand area that I reside in for many years. And the police response is be very, very high and they be very alert. So what happens is the commissioner of police or the superintendent who's in charge of the community says to the officers coming on duty, and he says to them, look here, brothers. We had 5 murders. We had 15 shootings and gunshots and shot spotters, okay? We have to reroute some of our officers in this community. So he sent the officers. A lot of high-powered weapons are being discharged in these communities. So what you think the police superintendent or the commissioner is going to tell these officers, right? So when they get their briefing, see, these are things we need to look at. We're not there when they're getting briefing. But when they're getting briefing, they're telling them about the crime that is happening in that community. They're telling officers, you know, be vigilant, you know, be careful, you know, because you're dealing with a lot of shooting in this area and a lot of murder. So all this is on the bulletin board. You know, he might even go as far as it is. You have your family to go home to. He'd say, shoot first and ask questions because you get a lot of crazy people up in there, all right? Based on all the shooting. So the police them come to the mindset that when they go in this community, they're roaming around and they're riding through these communities. They're riding with their firearm. You know, gunshot is getting reported. Or someone got killed a few weeks ago. Or they lock up a few guys walking around the streets in the camp area in the whole constituency looking for culprits, you know, because it ain't no one or two people, you know. There's a lot of hot boys all over the community, you know, when shooting incidents happen. And some will always be in war, but just that the area hot. So everyone want gun, everyone walk. Some just want gun to walk around for this, so they call it safety. And in the end, they could get caught up. And I'm not saying this young man, for instance, but the area
put you in that kind of mood. You could be an innocent person, but you live in a community, and guys just ride around shooting anybody, so you just want a gun to protect you. And in that time, why there's a lot of shooting, a lot of murders happen, you know, you're trying to say, you know, you're protecting yourself, and you're walking somewhere. Now, you're not really looking for no one in particular. You're just looking because, you know, some guy, when the area is hot, people, let me tell you, when the area is hot, and guys looking to kill people, sometimes people just be looking to come and kill anyone they see in the community. All right? They just ride and run. They hot. Their blood is pumping. They just see you walking in the road. They will just open fire on you. Yeah, that's how it goes when guys hot and they have a beef with some guys in the area and you just be going to the pump. So an incident would break out in that community that they seen everyone shooting, getting shoot at. So, you know, you just want to go buy one little tool and go walk in the road. Mind you, know, this could be the last tool you ever could carry now because the police hot. You know what I mean? Shooting going on. So now you're walking. You know, whether you have a gun or not, the area's hot, gunshot report, you're walking late in the night. You're the only one who the police seen when they're patrolling. You see them, you could be have a little joint in your hand. You understand? And you could see the police, and your reaction is because you know how the police go. The area's hot, so you expect the police to be vigilant when all kind of murders happen in the area. You understand? And the police, you know, sees you, you break off running. Right? In some cases, you know, police don't shoot there. If you listen to Inspector Skipping, she tell you, our police officers train to kill. That was her word. So them officers ain't taking no time to really run after you if you make a move. And they might have, you know, you could have shot at the police. Understanding you. You know? You think the police ain't no different than a guy who comes to a club, has an enemy, and his blood is boiling. He go and he shoots somebody. Now, he ain't coming there to shoot everyone else, you know, but his blood is boiling. And then he just discharge a few more shots, and if that guy is not dead, he'd go over and he put a couple more shots in them. So you think the police don't do the same thing? If this is a person who shoot at the police and all them is just police, you don't think they're going to put a one or two more in the person to make sure he's dead? That's how things go, because their adrenaline is going, just like I was on the next way as the bad boy. Now, I could be wrong, but like I said, I hope. Now, I'm not saying it happened in this case, but for many years, it's been happening. So the area's hot. So I want mothers to tell their kids in these areas, when you see the police, if you ain't can, and if you can a little joint, don't run in hot spot areas. You know, the police might give you a break if you ain't want it. You know, because kids, sometimes, they know the area hot, and their reaction is different to the police. They just break off running, but the police just moving through. They on their eyes and ass because of all the shooting. And they had to protect us too, you know. But in that instance, with all the shooting, and they're going in these communities, and there are always reports of gunshot, what you think is going to happen? So I'm advising people in these areas, talk to your kids, talk to your daughters. You know, if you see a son has any illegal substance or illegal firearm, talk to them, tell them. Just talk to him. Tell him there's no need to carry the police in the area. Tell your kid, be careful how you hang on the park. If you see someone who is known to have a beef with other guys, you know, remove yourself from that environment. You know, if you're in a nightclub and you see someone who was on ankle bracelet who probably just get charged with a murder, you know, and this is a problem coming to hang where he's a regular citizen. You know, you need to leave with the club. And I'm telling business owners, you know, as business owners, you know, you got to be careful how you're letting people. I'm not against the guys who wear any ankle braces, you know. Based on statistics on how guys fall on them, who they had beef with, and wherever they go, someone is going to get hurt. Based on them getting traced and guys tracking them, they're a liability to innocent people. So you want to be a citizen to go into nightclub. Yeah, you can't be going to the nightclub with other people who ain't charged with no murder, and you ain't ankle bracing going to this nightclub and guys looking for you. No, you supposed to be locked down or stay home or someone tell you in your case. You understand? That's why the statistics shows it with the commissioner putting in the newspaper how much people got killed electronically monitored. How much people got shot being around people who electronically monitored. That's the question also, because a lot of people get shot just by them coming around, hanging around, say, here's my boy, I doing my grill out, And you come there and chew on and run you and use some, you know, being will make it look like we soft or whatever, but being is lovable. And you come there and hang up there and guys, someone see you and then, you know, they come there to get you. And they don't get you. They get other people who have no knowledge of what's going on about the whole situation. Just you, you come there and you was involved in a situation where you hurt somebody and they looking for you. And the country 21/7, and you so stupid to think you just the baddest man that ain't nothing gonna happen to you. You just hurt somebody a couple of weeks ago, probably put somebody in the ground a couple of months ago. Now you won't come in the bar or come around Fish Ride or Domino Table to sit down. No, no, no. So owners, you need to start when they win them anklet bracelet, please exit. Exit, please. Until you get your anklet bracelet off, you can't be around these places. Or if you do have it on, you have to be conduct yourself in the right manner. But I still say, if I have an anklet bracelet on, right? I shouldn't be allowed to be going places where innocent people go, based on the statistics. So, you know, and I'm hitting on the guys, you know. It's for their own safety and for other people's safety. So it's a serious thing going on in the country. Let me get back to the part I was talking about. So, yeah, the police are hiding. They go in these areas. You know, anyone is a suspect, huh? Anyone is a suspect when these areas are with murders. You think the police know the difference between an innocent person walking the street late at night or a person who doing criminal activity? And some people, an innocent person could panic, you know? And then, you know, most people say the police plan the gun on you, you know? And I could say yes, some cases, and I could say no, some cases, you know? You understand? That's how serious it is. And we might want to blame the police in this case. And, you know, a life lost, you know, and I feel it for that family. You know, but that's how it is when the area hot. When it's a hot spot, everyone's a picking. You know, so community people got to get stronger together and be able to guide the community in the right direction. And let's change the dynamics to make sure that we could be able to identify the hot spots and try to correct it as a community, because we have to do our own community policing now. You understand? Because we depend on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They come in because of the murders. And they come in armed. And they don't know who was who late at night. So if a child is out there on the park, call him in, tell him come inside or sit down behind the bar. If he's smoking a little joint, why you got to go in the open or whatever, come home, son. You know, I ain't encouraging no, but this is the life how people living now, and this the chances you take now, in this country. You know, and the statistics better prove it. And I'm telling you this for your son. You know, the police don't be messing around when they come on the precinct. When the commission say, man, look, you go over there, shoot first and ask question later. Huh? And you think now the family's asking for a camera. Listen to this. The Prime Minister is never going to speak out on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Because he can. Because the Royal Bahamas Police Force is government. All right? Can't. Prime Minister can't speak on these matters. You understand? That's internal boards of different agencies sitting on the table with the Prime Minister got to deal with these matters. You know? Ladies asking the question, she want camera. Mom, I don't think you're never going to see the camera because the system is going to protect the system. I don't know if his son shot at the police. Mom, you know, I'm sorry for the loss of the family. You know, and I feel it for you guys, you know. I don't know if he had a gun or if he didn't have a gun and the police planned a gun on him because, you know, we had a situation before. But I can't say that in this particular case because no one was present. You know, only the camera and the police, and if by chance, whether he had a gun or he had a gun, just say if he had a gun, they might let you see the camera. But if he ain't had a gun, right, how would we know if he ain't had a gun, if they have the camera, you think they're going to release the footage? We just had a defense force officer killed a few months ago, and you know, there's supposed to be a proper investigation. The camera is supposed to be given to the general public, given to the family or played to the public, right? You know, the defense was having some kind of mental breakdown and the police pulled up and then he was shot at least according to the police, running out of the police. And in fear of their lives, they discharged their firearm, and then the defense force officer's dead. And then, you know, the country's outrage and the family's outrage. And then we heard the Minister of National Security saying, you know, I think the camera footage will be released. But then the camera footage was probably saying, according to information, they said it was too gruesome for the family to see. So it was never shown to the family. So a settlement probably was arranged for the family between the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the family and the Bahamas government, and they settled the agreement. But the footage was never shown. And if the police are right, they might not show it. If they're definitely wrong, Mom, you're never going to see it, you know? So we're going to be losing young men like that, you know? And if you have a gun on you, and you shoot the police. Ms. Skippin said the police ain't trained to shoot nobody in the leg no more. They trained to shoot for the heart and head. Simple as that. And that's their job. You know, it's a sad situation, you know. And like I said, I'd read the numbers again. Of the 123 murders, police solved 86 of those murders. 67% represents a clearance rate of 67%. You know, you don't know. And it's sad for us, you know, because it's coming from the police and this is a family. And we're having people getting killed from criminals and some people, you know. So we get the criminals on one end and then we have the police on one end. And it's because the area is hot and we can't say who is right or who is wrong. You know, it's just too much killing on both ends. It's too much killing on the police end, which they're doing their job. And some can be over-exaggerating, using their power and abusing people. Because, you know, I saw a footage where they had this guy who, on Facebook, and is being investigated now, and he complied with officers. But I also saw where the officers, them, take their foot, and they put on the gentleman, you know, which that was unnecessary because he complied, and then went stump him. You know, that there is abuse of power, and that there should not be happening for professionally trained officers. Now, if that young man was being violent in any type of way towards a police officer, they have all the rights to do that in that instance. But that behavior cannot be accepted, and we need to do something about it, okay? And then they put up information about the young man's background, that he was charged with murder, and et cetera, that may be true. But if he acted in a particular manner, disorderly behavior, right then and then they chased after him in the car, and he caught up and tried to fight them, and et cetera, then I give the police all the rights too. But he complied, so there's no need for that, even though he has that type of record, because we still have to be professionals on the day and let the court do its work, let the police do its work. As long as their life was not in danger and they had full control, there's no reason to behave in that type of manner. Okay, we're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're hey, on Inside in the City.
Hey, a pleasant good night for the school. I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
And I want to commend you for the work that you've been doing over the years.
Thank you again, sir.
Let me just ask you something. Are you getting any of that $50 million that the government is paying out in consultancy fees?
Not a dime, sir.
You know?
Not a dime.
If not, why not?
I think they have their favorite people because they have these people who have all these degrees and et cetera, and they feel they're more valuable.
They have degrees more than a
guy who have a
thermometer.
Yes.
But they and all of these degrees, and we are worse off than we ever were.
That's right, sir.
You know, but you know, keep on doing what you're doing, because maybe someone may listen. Maybe you're not going to save all. Perhaps one or two may get the message and take heed. You know, I want to say that the commissioner of police said, I think in his press briefing, that the weapon of choice is firearm, right?
Yes, sir.
He also said when he assumed his tenure that he would be advocating for stiffer penalties for the possession of illegal firearms, right?
Yes, sir.
But apparently his minister don't seem to support that view.
Yes.
You know, and you see, until we, the people, the government need to listen, like Mr. Felix Dubb said, you know, these governments, they come into power with their plan. But until the plan comes from the bottom up, mm-hmm. until the people
mm-hmm.
say this is what we want, this is how what we want in our society,
mm-hmm.
we have a proliferation of guns. People have been calling for stiffer penalty for guns for a number of years. And nothing has happened, man. Nothing at all has happened. You see, unless people realize that, listen, that if you are caught with a gun, man, that's half your life gone. They may think twice. But it seems like, you know, it's nothing to them. Mm-hmm. And this Minister of National Security, tell me, Scrooge.
Go ahead, sir. I listen.
Every time he come on the radio, he say, you know, oh, your parents, man, these, listen, do you think any of those fellas them are to listen to the Minister of National Security? You got to stand up and show these people who run in this country, man.
Yeah.
You as the minister, Mr. Wayne Monroe, you got to be strong, and you got to speak with authority, man, and let the people know that we are coming after you, and we're going to put stiffer penalties on you. They don't have these kind of things in Malaysia and China and all them other kind of countries. Yes, you may say, oh, they're not democratic. They have law and order. The police cannot control crime, right?
No, sir.
But the laws, that's why we pass laws. Enforce laws. If you enforce the laws of the country, we would have a country of law and order. But right now, we have a country of slackness. That's, you know, somebody said that the government has two functions. The Constitution says that Parliament should pass laws for the good governance of the country. Their duty, the government duty, is to pass laws, okay? And the other duty or function of the government is to make sure that people obey the law. And if they do those two things, just pass the law, ensure that the people obey the law, and we would have an ordered society.
Yes,
if not, we can be in chaos.
Yeah.
We're going to be in chaos. Anything buck up goes. And, you know, I don't know in the next 10 or 20 years if we're going at this rate. You imagine what kind of Bahamas that we're going to have in another 10, 20 years? 100 murders, 200 murders, 300 murders, and
yes,
nothing. And, you know, if we need help, go outside and get help. Mm. I'm going right now. I remember when Mr. Is Marillion was building Bahama, and we are having a crime problem. He said, you know what? I'm prepared to bring in people to help the country with the crime because it's going to affect us as a tourist destination. 14 of the crimes, I understand from the commissioner, 14 of the crimes were committed against tourists. You know, do you imagine if that gets out into the world, how that will affect us as a country?
Yes, sir.
So the government has to take control of this country. If not, we can be just like Haiti. We can be just like Haiti. Thank you, buddy. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Carly. You did a wonderful job. And, you know, I enjoy people giving their views and stuff like that. That's why we have this show. And my job as a radio host is to make sure give you the inside stuff on a perspective that can resonate with you and have a conversation that is actually real. And what I'm talking about is actually what is affecting our country now. Anytime an area is hot spot, where there have been multiple murders, the police is going to be aggressive in the community, and every resident has to be on their heels knowing this. So you can't make no funny move, talk to your kids, the younger guys who are doing illegal activities in the area. You know, you got to put down your guns when the area hot and murders happening. You understand it? Because if the police are on their duties, you know, you could have been mistaken just by you protecting yourself, even though you think it's a good thing.
It could also cost you your life just because the area is hot and, you know, people are riding around shooting and you want to, you live in the area. You ain't live no other place, but you live in this area. You know exactly what happens over and over. And that's just an instinct. And I want people to understand that that's the instinct in the inner city community. That's the instinct of most people who live in the inner city community to defend themselves. And some of those who defend themselves sometimes get caught up, you know, just defending themselves or the shooting. And they're keeping themselves, they're just keeping it to themselves. But, you know, sometimes just things happen. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hello.
Hello, good night.
Good night, Scrooge. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
Yeah, stop here. Listen, I heard the last caller, right? And I share his concern. But, Scrooge, there comes a time in every man and woman's life when we got to put down childish things and become a man or a woman. We done been bouncing around this thing now for 50-plus years. Between the Free National Movement and the PLP. Mm-hmm. 50 years, Gucci. And we still got people calling the shows, talking about FNM and PLP. And we are over the cliff. The good Lord has protected this country for years, but Bahamians, because of their lackadaisicalness and their all of them kind of things, the Lord is not directing, you know. He has allowed another culture to take over this place.
I agree.
Now, whether we can see what's going on or not at this point, rather than crying and stand together as men. See, most of them politicians, we've been putting in their office and Lyndon, Oscar Pinlin, they wearing suits and stuff like that, but they ain't no man. You might as well call it what it is. They ain't no man, because in the face of danger, they break off running, wash up, they make up on the face, and they run and try and break off running. We need real men and women in the forefront of this thing, and we as Bahamians must stand behind. The lady said the other day on our video clip, she was crying with Lincoln Boehner by the Prime Minister's office. It's only a matter of time before we totally lose the battle. You see where these illegals going now? They live it on Paradise Island. When you think they can find one or two of them in Life Key or out east behind the gates, that's what we're waiting on the rest of that. We need to stand together as Bahamians, put the color down for this time, and we need to go and get our country. A perfect example is Ukraine. I say we must use no war jets and plane and tank and missiles, but those people was invaded by the second largest powerful army in the world. You see what them little bit of people do? They fighting back. They fighting for their country. And we need to throw our lot behind real men like Lincoln being them. Real men. Thanks, Scrooge, for taking my call.
Yeah. No problem, caller. Yeah. And that was very, very nice. Wow. And again, like I said, you know, these are the primary reasons I'm on the radio. And Guardian should be real proud of when the persons like me are with the inside stuff. You know, when he talks to on the call, I was talking about immigration, and he was mentioning Lincoln Bean. You know, I would agree with him to a sense, you know. Many vehemence from Loftus Roker, I was talking about invasion. Graham Rutherford was talking about invasion. Many other people was talking about this particular issue for many, many years, and it went on a deaf ears, okay? The problem with the whole situation is that we need to understand that from 1973, everyone else is who were here under the British are Bahamians, right? So if we're not using that 1973 as a way to see who's real Bahamians, everyone else should not have a Bahamian passport. They should have residency from their country or the island they come from. They should have residency. And then we decide after a while if you obey the Bahamian laws in a 15-year period where you are not involved in no criminal activity, you pay taxes, then we consider you to become a Bahamian citizen. What has happened over the years? And I'm going to tell you this. See, The Haitians are not the problem. And I'm going to say this to you. Carter, you got to hold on. And I'm going to say this to you. The Haitians were not the problem. It's the fact that in our systems, we are being corrupted. And here's what I want to say. I'm not going to call the party on no one's name. 25 years ago, as young guys on the streets, political parties, members, came to us and asked us to get voters' cards from individuals on the streets. And I'm not the only one who's speaking on this. Many of the gang leaders back in the 90s did this. And many people were stagnated people who were Haitian nationals who were here and didn't have no paperwork. Many of people involved in politics who had pastors and et cetera got people registered to vote in a general election. Okay? And many people after that, it was agreement for people to get citizenship. Back in the day, you know, we are all for one because we never grew up discriminating back in the days because, you know, people of Haitian descent, you know, they were neighbors and family members, but it was a time like that's what happened. Over the course, we've had people who has gotten their citizenship, which in some people should not have. It's supposed to take time based on your preliminary report from the immigration department. You know, you get your residency. And you get your citizenship after 15, 20 years, like I said. And what has happened is that many people have gone into the police force, gone into the defense force, gone into politics and many government departments. And what they're doing now is they're using their position as a citizen, as a Bahamian, but still of Haitian descent. And they're using their position to make money. You understand, in these positions, in immigration, in the police department, in customs, in government. And that is the problem, because our law still protects us. So we need people to be monitored in all of these departments. That means we have to have inspectors who are part of the department, but their job is just to go and check the notes, the paperwork, and the transaction. And they check it, and if they find any irregularities, it's their job to put it before our board. And we need to do the same thing on the police force because this will stop corruption. So if we have here, where we have all these complaints about corners, cases before corners of people saying, you know, like the woman saying that my son ran, why you shot him? So let's put a board of police officers or civilians apart with police officers, and their job is to only investigate police. You understand? To make sure, I mean, a real corners report, so that we put the officers on the tippy toes, knowing that they have a private board that they don't have no control over. And this board is dealing with citizens and police. And these police are trained specifically to go after rogue cops or people who have complained against police and put them before they have a board where they deal with officers before they put them to the court. So we need these people in all these different departments to monitor. And once this would slow down the corruption, because we have people of this descent. And we have corrupt humans also who sell and know documents, passports at the Ministry of National Insurance. How many cases have we seen where foreign nationals have gotten NIB card or a passport of someone who is Bahamian, when they check it, it's a real passport, but it's a fraudulent because the name and the poison is not the same. So, yes, I'm going to take this last call so I can get back to my topic. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside MCB.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, so it's us. It's our department. And that's where the corruption comes in. And all our departments are corrupted of people who are using it for their benefit in the PLP and in the FNM, in both political parties. And they're using their position for money. And that's where the corruption came in. But if you go back to 1973, right, that states that we were British voice. So anyone coming after 1973, right, have to be registered. And any passport given out from 1973 to now, I don't say anything should be reviewed because there's a lot of good people. See, I don't want to thank people, all Haitian, but we get all kind of wicked behemoths over here too. We have all type of wicked behemoths, all type. Some of us worse than Haitian people. Just, see, we are talking about the influx of Haitian people. But we have some stink, wicked behemoths in this country. Wicked against their neighbors, don't want to see no one profit. They're even wicked in the foreigners, and they're even more detrimental and more dangerous than the nationals. So let's don't we even go there. But we're talking about the influx of the volume of people coming in. But the people who've been here all those years and our family and stuff like that, some of them are good people. We have some wicked behemoths in this country. Wicked. Don't like nobody. They don't like nobody but they say we have a lot of wicked people over here. So don't get it. It's the personality, but we're talking about the influx. Okay? So we're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what's going on?
All is good.
Yeah, you know, Scoochie, I call the big up what you're saying, right? Me and you live in the inner city, right, Scoochie? We live amongst these people, right? And, you know, me and you, I lie to myself if I don't say I don't have Haitian beam and bread.
Of course.
You understand me? And I can tell you this now, Scoochie. When, you know, back in the days, at least I have some of them, they still hail me, but I could trust some of them more than I could trust some Bahamians. You know what I mean? Like, just say, well.
Bahamians, a lot of wicked Bahamians.
Yeah, but
country.
I mean, like they see me, they still come and hail me. So
yes.
I say in this to show the people how close knitted we are.
Yeah, we are.
I could go to them right now, as a matter of fact. Man, I mean, these little youth, them, I go up and then I used to give them money to go to school and things. They cool, you know. But I say in this, but Scoochie, me and you watching, I see Howard mention. You know, Howard say he gone back Freeport the other day. He say this on the radio. And he see the difference. He didn't people them, they looking at him like, who he is, right? And he see what, who he is. So it's the same thing with me and you in the grandstand and the goal respect
yes.
to be our Scoochie. Every day I look, you can see the influx.
Yes.
You don't know who these people are and they
yes,
look like they mad with someone.
Yeah.
And you know, all right, let me give a little quick chronology. You know, growing up in the inner city, right? I've seen the difference with the attitude of some of the Bahamians with Haitian descent and background. They think people owe them something. They look like they're angry. You know, they believe they're better than anybody else. This is the type of attitude that some of them got. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, Scoochie, you know, I guess I cool with a lot of them. But I get what I observe. You understand? And for 1 minute, let me show you something. Let me give you an example and a schism they're creating. A certain public service driver, they have a flag on their bus. So what that's supposed to mean now? Why you fly an Asian flag on your bus?
And in the Bahamas.
Yes, so no, it ain't. What I'm saying is, you want the people to come to your bus.
Mm.
It's over the normal bus service.
Okay,
they shouldn't allow them to do that then.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. See, they're creating the schism, you know. They're not, see the punch. You used to read the punch years ago, right, Scoochie?
That's the Bahamas. Only one flag you're supposed to have, and that's the Bahamas flag.
Yeah, but they already allow people to have independence, and then we see what I'm saying is weakness is, all right, water is flowed to the weakest point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see we have weak leaders and weak politicians willing to sell us out, and we won't continue talking with Haiti, get independence in 1804, and they were dissing. Man, we don't know that, man. That
yeah.
We be talking about ourselves now. You understand what I'm
yeah.
saying, my brother? We tied in this narrative, but what about us?
Mm-hmm.
They taking the taxpayers' money now to go facilitate to build clinics in Inagua to house these people that would do this, whatever it be. But the people in Nassau need these detention.
Mm.
They're subverting health care. Excuse me, I can't afford to go to the doctor's hospital, right? As a matter of fact, I don't even look up the doctor's hospital because my mom, my pa being in there, and I they ain't going to let me say what they have to say in there, but them, they ain't like all they think they is, man, all right? Trust me. And the people who've been on the day, we got to stop looking up to these people as gods, you know. Let me show you something. This
call
like I'm
right now, as soon as you finish.
And corruption so deep-rooted in this country, Scoochie, I'm glad you bring it to light. But Scoochie, it ain't hard to figure out the corruption and get to the bottom of it.
What you think it is? We all know these things.
Yeah, but like you say, but you remember when he was a fellow who was selling the driver's license and all?
Yeah.
He delivered around with me, and then they catch someone with the immigration.
Yeah.
Problem. But what I'm saying is, Scoochie, but I have a brother that works for IT, for immigration, right? And I thought putting in all these digital paradigm with a curtail.
You would stop something?
Yeah, but I see last night and night, they circulating this work permit so they get on one from one of the migrants. And I'm just saying, yeah, man. So what I say is, then they saying Lincoln trying to, but I mean Lincoln being doing the right thing. But I saying, I didn't know it was illegal for someone to go on someone's property once the person home and when they come in, they just come walk up in the yard.
Yeah, but you know,
so, but you see, so
yeah.
I mean, you look at the legal framework for citizen arrest. The people in Honduras had to make a citizen arrest the other day and hold the people, tell the police and the appropriate authorities arrive.
Yeah, yeah.
So these narratives, the censorship and the controlling of the status quo structure in this country is sickening, you know.
Yeah.
And these people, they think we really scoogee. Wait. Like, they just feed us any narrative. They have these little photo psyops here and there, and they saying this and they saying that. You know, bells sound good, right? But, yeah. I mean...
I had to explain it. You know, I just explained something to you, what we did when we was young, so on the road. And I had to explain it, all right? I tell you what the problem was, and I tell you why. Because I can remember a lot of those people now in different positions. And I
But Scoogey, you best, but Scoogey, some days I still when I guess it'd be my radio. I know all your bridges. Listen to me. Some days I still want to say on the radio. Like, when the radio is nice to see you, you'll be surprised. I mean, some days I still want to say on the radio. You understand what I'm saying? Because they ain't glorious. You understand what I'm saying? So, but what they're saying is, look like a certain demographic of people, like, they praise being bothered. Now, another thing, Scoogey, these people, the situation with the entourage in Haiti, right? They take their car, they come in there, they car, and confiscate their weapons and all. How you think that make the defense force feel? Weak and pathetic. So what I'm saying is, what you still over there for, this, what I'm saying is, Scoogey, the charge they defer over here on all of these geopolitical structures they have set in between the embassy and the embassy there, they ain't proven to be worthwhile because Bahamas I hear the people from Bahamas there couldn't go to the plane or come to the plane or whatever. I ain't need to hear all that. I just know something going wrong. What's the reason for these infrastructures in place if people can't call and pick up the phone and say, hey, man, let them people go or what? You know what I mean? Squishy.
Hold on. You got to speed it up because I have someone else on the line.
Yeah, but I want to make a joke before I go.
Yeah.
You need to give the defense force them back the gun. They want you to find it for me.
Give them back one gun. You will go with it in a wild country. Let me take this last call and we can spawn there. You did an awesome job. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long. Go ahead, caller. Hello. Can't get you. Sorry about that. So, let me just say this. Yes, we always talk about Haiti. It's the first country to break off from the British, France, to get independence and et cetera. It was Jamaican leading that before. A Jamaican was leading that along with Toussaint. So it was a collaboration not of just Haitian descent. You had people from different Caribbean countries who were blacks. You understand? So this is what I'm saying to the whole general public. There are 10 different tribes of people, all of us, right? And some of us were in captivity and some were in America's, don't mind them, some were in the Bahamas. Even though they said the Bahamas was vacant for about 200 years, people still were here. Seminole Indians are my descendant. You know, my grandma tell me my grandmother, great-grandmother, was a Seminole Indian from Andres. That's my descendant with blacks. Come from Florida, all right? And they say no one was here. Well, the slaves, them ran away from the war, the railroad war, back in America, and they would come here for a safe haven, and they would hide in Andres. And they're still here today using the bow. You know, and spare still today, Seminole Indians. And they are most descendants of people from Andres. You understand? So we all were together fighting that imperialism of slavery. So it wasn't just the Haitians, it was the Haitian Jamaicans. It was the Bahamians who came to the Bahamas. So it was a mixture of people. That's what, don't get this thing twisted. Do your history. When Sir Ronald Fox was over here and he wanted help. A lawyer from Haiti and Jamaica came here to the Bahamas to assist them. We were collaborating together. We used to trade together because all of us come from Africa. So only over time we separated. Some people was attacked more. And with the Haitian, this is what happened to the Haitian. After they defeated France, and they wrote them out. The French, I can't remember who was leading the French army at the time, who fled Haiti. He was on his way to the Bahamas. And Toussaint and his Jamaican guy, they shoot cannons to make sure that the French didn't land here in the Bahamas because they were fleeing Haiti. And they
fire their cannons. You could go by the fort and you could get this information because they talk about Toussaint in the fort and what he contributed to freeing the Bahamas because the French was coming here. And he said, after he was chasing the French from over to Haiti, because, you know, the French jumped on the boat after they saw that they was getting defeated in Haiti, and they go on their ships, and they were fleeing. And this information right there on Fort Charlotte, you could go and do your history and check it out. Ladies, be ready to talking about it, and that's where I got it from. And she talked about how Toussaint fired his cannons over the French ship and stopped them from coming here to the Bahamas, because Toussaint knew that those people here, he didn't know us personally, but he knew they were blacks just like him. And he fired his cannon, and that's how come they end up going to North Carolina and places like the United States of America. So the Bahamas would have been invaded and been colonized even worse. We end up with the British. Okay? So what happened? They got together, and they put an embargo on Haiti where they make them pay back for their independence, which around the time, I think it was $200-300 million or $500 million, but that was equivalent to like billions of dollars. And the Haitian had to be in paying them back and this destabilized Haiti and all the businesses leave. So this was a joint plan effort to destabilize Haiti because of the defeat of the front of French. And what has happened now, these countries, France, the United States of America, they're the ones responsible for the influx and why the Haitians are coming here, because they're the ones who stealing up everything from Haiti. Do you know that the material that they're using in the mountains right now in Haiti, when you watch the Black Panther, is actually in Haiti right now? And that they have a U.S. Army base that's been there for close to 50 years. And they're mining it, and they're using it to build submarines and spaceships that goes to the space. It's an extraterrestrial mineral in Haiti. And the U.S. Army is there now. That's why they're there. They're there for the gold that after the hurricane, after the earthquake, would went about 15 years ago, and then they exposed the copper, the silver, and the gold. And they're in Haiti mining that, but they're in there for the extraterrestrial mineral. And you look at it, two places this mineral land on this earth, in Africa and in Haiti. And there's a mountain full of extraterrestrial metal. It is used because it can take the heat and re-entry in space and don't get damaged. And they're using that for planes and the latest planes and et cetera. They're mining that, but they're not giving Haiti nothing back. Haiti has gold, Haiti has copper, Haiti has silver, and has one of the rarest minerals in the world. So it's because of them. If they were just to give back Haiti a percentage of what they're taking from Haiti, they wouldn't be in the position they're in now. The Bahamas going, or the Bahamas government going in Haiti, defense was going in Haiti, and they get his arm. Y'all crazy to go in there? That place is stable. Them people ain't let no one run the country no more. Gangs have gone powerful, different gangs all over the country, because after you destabilize the country and you keep on destabilizing, thinking you're controlling it, for a time being it's work, but sometimes it's get out of hand and you can't control it no more. So it's a wild place right now, so there's going to be no law and order in Haiti. And we have to be careful to stop the influx, because some of the people's going to flee and they're going to come here with those intentions. It's just the intention that people or desperation and coming here. You understand? And that's what it is. See, it's a desperation of people coming from that, you know? We have to take a break. Please don't go nowhere. We're on Guardian Radio. The producer said we have to take a break. So we'd see you after the break on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Bintan, bro. Boy, I from Bintan, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Bintan, bro. Boy, I from Bintan, bro.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, You can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people.
Good night. We're back on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside Inner City. And how all this is affect us. And like I say, you know, why Bahamians are mad is because we are here in this country, and we feel we've been deprived, and our liberty, our future development has been taken away by influx. Influx of people who have their own country, we are brothers and sisters, but the influx has come to us, and we have been feeling the pinch for a little while. This is nothing personal. This is just the fact that we are here, and we have been working for 50-something years in the country, and many of us, as BMs, have still not gotten a square something. They used to call it what we suppose a piece of land, you know, and we have been denied that, and you know, to see the influx and the money going out the country, and then the increasing sailboats coming in over, and seeing about the documents, the passport, the national insurance card, and then seeing documents in Haiti, and people are saying that. So it's a lot of stuff on being in people's mind as we speak, you know. And, you know, it's the United States of America and France are the ones right now destroying Haiti and causing problems all over the world, all right? Give back the people their millions, or give them a percentage. It's them. So to the Prime Minister, the Honorable Brave Davis, when he's saying we're doing all we can in the Nassau Guardian, let me tell you, Mr. Davis, desperation, crime, and poverty in Haiti, with all the killing with the gangs, them over 50 gangs or more are in Haiti. And you can imagine, no government, no police. People could flee. So you could do all you want. They're coming. Because where there's killing and poverty and people wants to get out, if they have to go and build a cardboard box with a fake engine, they do that to get away from them. Go through treacherous water where there's sharks and they're unstable and they're traveling 200, 300 just to get away from that and poverty. That's how serious it is. Desperation is a serious thing, brother. When people bark against the wall and their instinct ticking, they got to go and they see that their own kind, where they're getting chopped up with cutlass. You know, we're seeing people on TV eating human flesh on their own. You got to be careful and mindful of that, because that spirit come over here and
That's it. You talk about violence. You know, this could be changing the dynamics of our country now because you have desperate people coming from a desperate country with no law and order. We have law and order, even though we kind of going off track, right? But at least we still get a little bit of discipline, at least a little bit of God. But when people have been deprived, when countries take away their liberties, you know, make them poor, change their leaders, make their money value go down. And Haiti was one of the richest Caribbeans along with Jamaica many years ago. Like how he is the richest Caribbean country now. Haiti was like that. And Jamaica. But people put sanctions on them. Even though they are brothers and sisters. This is what happened to you when you cross the powers to be. And they put sanctions on these countries. And that's why the position. And they drop their dollar for dollar. Now we have people over there who are living savage. Okay? And some of them are going to run. And some of them are going to find resting place here out of desperation. And what we're going to do, if not, we're going to not empower our citizens. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Go ahead. Call up.
Hello.
Yeah, turn on you can turn on the radio. Yeah, you can turn on the radio, please.
Hello, me?
You can turn the radio down.
I don't have a radio on in my place. Can you hear me, George?
I can't really hear you. I think I'm up too hard. I can't really hear you. Yeah, so we have a lot of desperate people. And that's what we're afraid of, you know. I was a street guy. But I still had discipline, you know. I was never a rapist. I was never a murderer. I ain't looking at nobody else's teens, like what they have, and looking at them and steal it. When desperate people come to your country, they're looking for that dollar for dollar, all right? So they come in here for that dollar for dollar because they know if they get away from Haiti, and they come to the Bahamas, and they could get American currency, and they work, they could ship back that money and build a big house and help their family, which I respect that. But at the same time, you're going to have some who come with that violent behavior. Listen, people eating people, man, and chopping up one another in the streets like chicken. Now, we were gangsters. We had our share, right? But not a... No, man. You see? And this is what happens when they destroy your economy, and that's what the Bahamas becoming now with all this crime in the country now, if you don't pay attention. You know, that's why I'm here, to tell you this. We have a chance. We have a chance here in this country. We have a chance. If we allow ourselves to get the way that could not... Certain parts of Haiti are good, but Port-au-Prince, where the majority of people live, it's like the ghetto, and the ghetto is where anything goes, all right? And to get that under control, it's going to take but 50 to 100 years. No one's going to trust nobody because just like how we had, we march over here, and we follow that, and we thought like, you know, the poison to be, I'm not disrespecting Mr. Enfield, but we thought he'd taken a part where we could have followed, okay? And when we look, he switched and went personal. I don't have nothing against Mr. Bean. But I don't trust nobody, even if they're fighting for a worthy cause, unless I see their personality. All right? I ain't perfect. But I can tell you, just go in my background and go in my community. And you could see. I ain't one of the people who don't like me because they're doing good. Some people don't want changes. So people just don't like you because you're doing good. You're doing something they want to do. So they just have no reason for even hating you. But they just don't like you because you're just a person that you rate them because you're doing something that they want to do and they don't have. They can't do it. Look at my personality. I skim clean. I ain't perfect. I have my habit. And everyone know my habit. All right? But I try to conduct myself in a particular manner. I respect authority. So all I'm saying is leaders who wire in for a position and leadership in the country, they have the total potentials. They have to show integrity. You understand? I respect Mr. Bean, but there have been many people over the years who have been fighting for the same things, but how they conduct themselves. You got to be how to negotiate. You can't be in the police face. You can't be in the defense force face. All right? There's some things you got to do and show respect, even though you're fighting for a worthy cause, but your attitude turns away people. You know which people respect me? You think I could be living today, living in Grandstand today? I still live in Grandstand. I walk bare feet in my community. because I know how far to go with people. Like, now, I say everyone like me, but they respect me because they know I can sing about my community. And I don't do with no money. I don't do things for money. I do this because I live in the community, and I want my community better. I want to be able to walk around and stop at a couple of places and have a good time in my community instead of me going down Bay Street. And I want people to be able to have their business in the community. I want hoses fixed. I want the garbage bin, no rats running around. That's what I want. So if people don't want that change, that's their business. But I'm still going to do my thing to make my community better because I know I want to ward all these things about this young guy getting killed. So I try to create a community where we can have less police involved shooting of a hotspot area. So I'm trying to invest in the community and make sure we're able to put the right megas in the community centers. We could start small businesses. We clean up the old abandoned houses. We clean the old lots. Not to take no one property, but to beautify and to show and change the atmosphere so that we could have the area where the police don't come in that particular manner because the area is developing. But if these areas like Camp Road and stuff don't have no development, it's always going to be like this. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. They left. So that's what this is about. So everything I do, all right, is for the same reason here. And listen closely. My son ran. So why shoot him? Whether he's innocent or guilty, we'll never know. But because the area is a hot spot, and the police, them come in the neighborhood, repeated murders, repeated shooting, and the innocent child could be sitting down anywhere and could be smoking a joint, drinking with friends, or one of them could have a gun on them, they break off running, or one of them could have fired a gun. So what you think the police is going to do? Huh? They're going to open fire. And if they're wrong, they're going to cover it up. They're never going to apologize if they're wrong. If they're right, they're going to give an explanation, show you. But they're never going to admit when they're wrong. And you can't beat the system. You might even lawsuit. That is nothing because that's the taxpayers' money. It's your money you're going to get back anyway. Just get in the bulk. All right? You can't beat the system. And the system is always going to protect itself whether they're right or wrong. And we never know if this young man had a gun. But the point of the matter is, I say, I feel it. And that's been going on for a long time. We need to properly train the police, like screen them. But it's going to be a hard thing when we have an area where, you know, a lot of murders happen. How are these police going to be able to go in these areas and perform where we have a lot of people who oppose the police? You know, so we need community policing in the day. And then if we have rogue hotspots, until we could get the community developed, the community centers and the activists and the church and all the civic groups to work that particular community to make it not a hot spot. You know, they're supposed to be working in Camp Road for years. You know, there shouldn't be no one police patrol. There should be constant police patrol. There should be constant pastors talking to the residents, going into their houses. There should be a lot of programs, continuous programs, nonstop, in order to cease the problem and bring opportunities in these communities. Because if you have four or five people killed in different various points, and police coming and shooting, it's a conflict zone. So it needs to be tended with. That means a lot of people in their houses, a lot of mental health issues, and we need the proper authority. That means nurses and doctors are going to have to go around to these houses and physicians and whoever. Psychiatrists along the police, and they're going to do continuous, and they're going to go door to door, and at the same time, you're going to have social service to come and assist. And this is a continuous effort that we need. We're going to take this call. Last call. Go ahead, call up. Call you there.
Hello?
Hey, call out, you there?
Yes, yeah, Scrooge. How you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Yeah, Scrooge, what I see, right? I heard you said that there ain't much we could do. At least the Prime Minister said that he's done everything, right? You know, we live in an archipelago. You know, we have many islands surrounded by water. So what we need to do is invest in boats. We need to be a boating community. We need to invest in a defense force, in a marine force. You know, most of us should have marine force skills. We need to be a militant society in this country just to protect our sovereignty, to protect our waters. You know, no matter if you Cuba or you Haiti or Jamaica, we, you know, us as a small nation, we should be able to protect ourselves. we can't just throw our hands in the air and just say, well, you know, we give up, you see? See, the problem we have is the rich people among us, is them who have these people here.
Don't always say the rich people, because that's impossible. You have people there who, poor people, all of them involved in it. Not just the rich. We can't just blame the rich, man. Not only just blame the rich.
What I'm saying is, it's the poor people that are suffering. The poor people who losing their jobs to the Haitians.
That's true.
Or the immigrants to the immigrants who's coming for less money.
That's true.
Yeah, you see, you don't see the doctors. You know, they have the Cuban doctors, Jamaican doctors, Indian doctors that could come here and take our Bahamian doctor's job. But they're not allowing that to happen.
Mm.
They're protecting their jobs.
Yeah, but they don't
understand me? But it's the poor man's job who's not protected. You see? Come on, man. Schools, you are outnumbered in this country.
No, listen, that's true. Outnumbered. We old number two until we learn that the political, you know where our biggest divide come in? The church and the political stance, and we can't make a right move because we divided between the PLP and the FNM and the church is involved with it. That's our biggest problem.
See, the politicians tell us, well, they can't do nothing and we need these people. Come on, man. We need to do something. Our politicians need to go to the UN and advocate for Haiti.
Tell France and America to get the people. Listen, I just tell you, go online. Anyone who listen to me, go online right now and see if they have a mineral that the United States of America have an army for over 50 years and they're mining this mineral. After the mercury that's previously gone, they find gold, silver, and copper. These things are available in Haiti right now as their own natural resources. No Haitian supposed to be running from Haiti.
Right.
All they have to do, the U.S., have to just give Haiti what is due to Haiti, their own mineral, and France need to give back the money that they tell Haiti to pay back, and we won't have this problem.
See, the rich people in Haiti and the politicians in Haiti, they benefiting just like the rich people and politicians here. They benefiting, so it suits them. They don't care.
That's all it is. It's the people who put them in the position. France made them pay embargo for them running Franzo, and Haiti just paid that about 20 years ago. I think they just finished paying it off. Now it's done paid. So what France need to do now, they need to repatriate all the funds they take back to Haiti, and the U.S. need to pull out of Haiti and give them their mineral. They're what you call it, what do you think is on black mana? What the name? Arenium?
Hey.
Anyone, listen to me. Go online and see if they're mining it right now and see the value of it. Only two places in the world.
The politicians and the rich man, they benefiting from them things. It's the poor people,
yes.
They ain't no sovereign wealth. It's the wealth for the politicians and the rich man.
So the politicians
and the rich man, they're using the gangs. They finance the gangs.
That's why the gangs ain't checking for no politician in Haiti no more.
They play it out now. The gangs working for them.
That's right.
Schools, you know, it's the same thing, yeah? Come on, man.
Yeah,
the gangs, the politicians, the police, stay connected right here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
you know how things it is? Come on, man. Schools here, like, you don't know.
I know. I talk.
You have police doing murder and things for gangsters in this country. You have police giving drugs to gangsters to sell, the people to sell. Come on, man.
We know
what time it is, man. You see?
You finished? All right.
Yeah, man.
All right. Did well. Okay, a happy note, say a square deal. Yes, that's what all Bahamians still waiting on today. So, to all Haitian nationals out there, there was a deal made after we got independence that each Bahamian who were here under the British, who fought in the war, who helped develop what we used to call it before it was the Bahamas, it was Nassau. What we named before we didn't name the Bahamas? I think Mr. Happy Nose could tell me. Mr. Happy Nose, I know you're listening to me, so I know the time. What the Bahamas name before, we'd call it Bahamas. They need to have a name for it, and then the British to give us a name for it before it became the Bahamas. So after it became the Bahamas, in 1973. And then all of us who, in 1974, like me, I was a raw born Bahamian, and I want my square deal. So that's what we're talking about. All Bahamians want their square deal that we were promised. And that's the Crown Land. And the Crown Land is in the hands of the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And that's what he's asking for. You see? So, this ain't about Lincoln Bain. We had this deal, the square deal. You didn't even Lincoln Bain. And you ever have a square deal? Go look in the documents, and each Bahamian who were here supposed to get a square deal. All right? So that's why we're here. And like I said, the tragedy happening in Haiti now is a design plan. And if we, the Bahamas, go against certain people, just like if you watch the war in Russia, you'd see all the embargoes and sanctions they put on Russia. Okay? And they call the talk, but how are Ukraine fighting back? But see, it go deeper than that. That's only one side of the story. You know, Ukraine was warned a long time ago to not take weapons from NATO because they were trying to bring their weapons closer to Russia. And Ukraine is a break off from Russia, and they have an agreement. And if you listen to the report from the Russian back 15 years ago, they told them and they told NATO not to put no bases around anywhere closer to Russia. And they violated those terms. So I want people to play close in mind. I'm not against the U.S. of A. I'm for truth. And in many cases, they have lied to countries and they use the lies that are actually true. Tell me this ain't true then. When we watch the Cowboys and Indians movie, we always used to say the Indians was the bad people. I lie. We always say the Indians are bad people. When we was watching Cowboys and Indians, tell now in the last 20 years, we started to say, oh, shoot, all the time that people lying. I like Kermit. But when we watch the movie, everyone said the Indians are the bad guy and they scalping. Come to find out, the Indians learning how to scalp from the hunters who come to hunt, the bears and the squirrels and etc. So we sometimes we start to believe the lies is true. You understand? And anyone could agree with me. And that's what's the truth. Just like we in the Bahamas today. And we say, we indigenous. We are indigenous of this country. Christopher Columbus met us here. He met our descendants here. Okay? But they make it seem like no one was here. Listen, Christopher Columbus is the first person to discover the New World. So if he's the first person to discover the New World, then who the hell are all the people who was on the land and who was on the boat with him? Huh? So when he was waving, he going in line, who he meet there? Huh? Christopher Columbus, listen to the words. Christopher Columbus, the first person to discover the New World. But he had the Alfonso brothers on the ship. He had all kind of people on the ship. And then when he gone to this New World, which he was told to by the blacks on the ship, who were navigating for him, he saw the people. He said they're the most beautiful people he ever see in the world. So that's the things I'm talking about. So be very careful. No, not one end of the stick. So the same thing they're doing in Haiti, that's a design thing. They're punishing Haiti, and Haiti's going to punish all of us until we, if we don't get ourselves in order. As simple as that. And we have desperate people coming to the country, running from poverty, running from crime, running from their brothers and sisters eating one another. They say chopping up one another. They don't love one another. And this was going on now. And I've seen it on social media. They say, you know what's to eat people? But you was a demon. Worship it. Voodoo. Black magic, don't have no knowledge or goodness in you. Using these things to conquer other people's land because you believe you're entitled to something. You got to watch yourself. So if Mr. Davis say we're doing all we can, he need to go and speak to France, and he need to speak to the United States on their stake in Haiti and start to give these people their repatriation money for all the minerals they have there in Haiti. Or Mr. Davis, what he needs to do is get the Caribbean together and let them know that Haiti has all the resources it needs. They don't need no money. Just pay them for their natural resources. As simple as that. And then Haiti can stay, Haitians can stay back in Haiti because why? They can start to give them back money because of the natural resources that the France and America would give back to the people. They're stealing right now in Haiti. America. Stealing all the people, think I'm going to get them in the position is where they have no job, no nothing happening. It's their fault in France. And we are feeling the prices. And we are feeling the pain. And they're going to come here and keep on coming here. Unless we address it. And how they're going to address it? They need to address it by what the problem is. People are stealing out of Haiti. They're stealing their rare mineral. Like the black part of that right there in Haiti. Anyone who listens to the show could punch us up right now. Vibranium or some kind of stuff. And they have gold and copper and silver. And they have a lot of. They make paint. They're very talented. And they have a great workforce. Don't paint us. Speak to the world leaders. Let France give back what needs to be give back to Haiti. Let America give back what needs to give back Haiti. America is the police of the world, but they also the chief of the world. And they get all us in despair now in the Caribbean with this influx. And God has going against our brothers and sisters because it's difficult for them. And put us in a position because we want our square deal. We can't get our square deal and they're all flooding us. And we got to be careful because a dash with people is very dangerous people. And when they come here, undocumented. What you think they're going to do? And they don't have no morals. They're going to thief, rape, and plunder. But for the set who come decent, loving, who been here for years, we have no problem with them. But for the set who keep on coming now, who we're seeing on the streets, we don't know who they are. We can't trust them. We don't know if they kidnap us. We don't know what they're doing. Human smugglers. We don't know drug dealers. We don't know what they is or who they is in our country. Some of these names you can't even, the police can't even say who their last name or their known address. Some of these people, they don't have a known address in the country. You know? Oh, man. Yeah, so hotspot body, hotspot areas with RS cause innocent life or a person who might not necessarily mean to harm nobody have this particular gun because the area is a hot area and people are riding around shooting, they decide to put this gun on them. And they're not really a bad person, but the police wouldn't know the difference. And our police need to be properly trained. And like I said, we have to be able to put inspectors who are part of the system and private sector, and the immigration department, monitor their citizenship given away, monitor the permit given away, to put everyone in check and we could slow down corruption in our country. Simple as that. In all departments, we have to have a private agency in each department, probably could give the information to the prime minister or the prime minister board on the corruption and the information they receive in the police department or the complaints against Grow Corps or a complaint against immigration officers who might have ties to their family and use in their position of director or assistant director as a way to use that for self-gain, which is destroying the country by bringing in illegal immigrants. And like I said, the illegal immigrants are coming from a country which is rich, but the U.S. and France helped them in the position they're in today, and they're wreaking havoc here on us living here in Nassau, New Providence. And like I said, we welcome those who are here, you know. But for those who are coming in now on these ships and sloops, we can't handle it. We can't handle it. That's what we're fighting against. We're not fighting for you guys who will be in here, get your citizenship. You know, you're our family. But we're fighting up the influx because it's going to be very hard for us to make it and save money in the Bahamas if the money is coming, is going to be sent out the country. When we have high unemployment in the country. So, I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. I love Haitian people. This is not about the Haitian. This is not about. I show you the problem is with Haiti, the United States of America. They thiefing the Haitian minerals and natural resources and causing the people to run from their country because they can't be employed and there's no work when they're rich. Costing them to bring havoc on us, all right? And France. So there's a lot we can do. Prime Minister of the country, tell France and America, give the Haitian Republic back their black panel aragonite. I mean, not aragonite, but titanium or whatever it is, and their silver, gold, and copper. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And again, I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio. And to the family, my son Ron, why the police shoot? I hope you understand how I explain it. In a high volume of crime, the police superintendent or the police commissioner who in charge of that area, division, he would tell us officers, based on the high murders in the country, to go back home to your family so that they shoot first and ask questions later. So we'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke it on, bro.
boy, I from Peyton, bro, bro, bro.
What happened? Huh? Straight to the main town, right? From Peyton. Where you do the baby? All up. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Peyton, bro.
What?
Boy, I from Peyton, bro.